Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like landfill fires, or losing a door mid-flight, or pathological liars.
And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like jerky coworkers, or underbaked granola, or lying to your dad.
Ooh, that's
for
just
shame.
Rude.
Rude.
Not as bad as lying to your mom, though. That's
the worst.
Yeah, you know what's even worse than that?
Not hearing our theme song?
That's what I was going to say.
Yep, here we go.
Ground is shaken under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Goblin down, Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive.
Karen.
Okay.
He's already laughing. Hey, let's tell them this is a show called How to Survive.
Well, they just heard the theme song, I think.
They did. They did. We don't, you know what? If the listeners didn't know this, we don't do that every single time.
We don't play it for ourselves.
Yeah.
No, we should. It would get us pumped up.
We don't live perform it every single time.
Oh, yeah. Either. No. Oh, we should do that. Yeah.
Oh, that would be fun, though. If we could
get
play
Mike Henry in here.
And just, we could play instruments. That's a good ambition for us.
Sure.
Learn instruments, take voice lessons.
I thought you do play the guitar a little, don't you?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
I did learn a Christmas song on the piano.
Oh, okay.
For Christmas, and I now have promptly forgot it. And my goal for the year of 2024 is to learn a Beatles song on the piano.
A specific song?
The easiest one. Whatever that is.
Michelle, My Bell?
Is it?
I don't know. Just the first thing that came to mind is a very simple song. I don't know if you can play it on the piano. I guess you can play any song on the piano, right?
Probably, but I'll just go with, you know, I'll probably Google easy Beatles piano song.
There you go.
And then that's the one I'll pick.
Nice.
And I'll let you know how it goes. I was listening to NNF.
Okay.
Coming in. You guys know that.
I like that show, right?
Yeah. I'm behind, so I'm trying to catch up. And I was listening to, I already listened to Gary Gulman. Great episode.
Oh, so good.
I'm on the most recent one. And I'm
Wendy Liebman.
No,
the most recent.
Oh, that isn't on my feed yet.
Oh, okay.
It's a name I can't remember.
After Gary was, historian, the comedy historian.
Cliff. I haven't gotten to the actual person yet. I'm just listening to the banter, but... the thing that's bumming me out is they keep referencing their Joe Coy conversation that I don't have reference to because what happens is I'll listen to NNF, then I'll miss some episodes, then I'll go to the most recent and work my way back. So I'm like, what did they say about Joe Coy? I want to know what they said.
I think they just said, you know, they said he should have acknowledged that no one knew him in the room and gotten them on his side. By like, I know who, you guys don't know who I am.
Yes.
How did I get this job? No one, you know, make fun of himself.
Then they'd be on his side.
Yeah. And then also he shouldn't have thrown them under the bus.
For sure. Well, that's because they had he had referenced you guys watching the John Mulaney Governors.
Oh, so good.
Which I need to find and watch.
So good.
I haven't seen enough John Mulaney stuff. We've watched him host every SNL because, my daughter's a big SNL fan, so she's watched lots of it. And she saw him host one, and she was like, "Who's this? He's so funny!" And then she went back and watched all of him,
all of his specials.
All of his SNLs.
Hosting, yeah,
we've never watched a special.
Are you serious?
I've never watched a John Mulaney special.
Oh, he's so funny.
Is it something I could watch with the kids? Do you think?
Yes, I think so.
Maybe not the new. Well, the new one's not.
I mean, he talks about being a drug addict.
They've watched so much SNL, they can probably handle it. As long as it's not... I don't know what I wouldn't want them to see at this point.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Full force, fine. Like, intercourse, probably?
Say it's closer. Yeah. Yeah, you can watch those specials.
Downhill from here, folks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they can definitely watch
it. It's really, really personal, too. It's all about his addictions.
Oh, don't start with the most recent one. I would go back. Yeah. Kid Gorgeous and all those. Yeah, yeah. They'll like it a lot. Yeah. I went to, we're just full of upbeat things. I went to a 90-year-old's birthday party this weekend.
Woot, woot.
A friend of my dad's. And I mean, I've known the guy since I was, itty bitty.
And he was 90 then.
He was 90 then. He's actually totally with it. That was encouraging. There was also a 97-year-old person there.
Yeah.
So that was nice that I think my dad could feel young in comparison.
I love that for your dad.
Yeah.
Not as much for you at a 90-year-old's party.
No,
on
there was
Saturday
also
night.
There was a 5-year-old there, and I told her, I said, I think you and I are the youngest people here. Which was not true by any... obviously, her parents were much younger than I am, but I was, But it was given by his grandnephew.
Yes.
And his girlfriend, and they are big fans of ours.
Oh my gosh, so they could be listening right now.
They probably are. So big shout out to Christopher and Danielle.
Hi, Christopher and Danielle. Thanks for listening.
I know, it was so nice.
Sorry about this episode.
Yeah,
so
really,
far.
Jesus
Sorry
Christ.
About all the granola talk. hopefully Danielle got that out.
Yeah, so hopefully you don't know what I'm talking
hopefully
about right now.
This is just a mystery.
It's just a dangling participle? Nope.
I don't know what those are. Don't even.
I don't.
Don't
either.
Bring up grammar. That is not
English
my
degrees.
Strong suit. Danielle.
Yes.
We got to tell the funny story about Valley Heat.
Oh my God. This is so funny.
This is so us. So I did a very small part on Valley Heat.
Now, was it on Valley Heat or was it on Good Morning Burbank?
It's Valley Heat.
Okay, great. All right.
So,
we just haven't gotten to it yet.
It's out.
Great.
And I saw that a new episode of Valley Heat was out, and I was like, oh, I wonder if this is the episode I had a very tiny part in. I'm going to check because, I'm excited. I want to mostly I want to see how bad I was.
Okay. That does sound fun.
Yeah, I want to listen to it and cringe.
Right.
So I go click open the episode, I go to the credits. Scroll down, and I'm like, ooh, Patton Oswalt, Eliza Skinner. I'm seeing a lot of names I know. CJ, that's the massage therapist I played. Danielle Koenig. What?
So
I text Danielle, and I'm like, Danielle, did you secretly do a part for Valley Heat?
Did he fire me and then recast me with you?
That would be so weird. And she's like, WTF. And so you're both like LOLing back and forth in a text chain,
right.
Basically. So I text. I'm like, it would be so funny. I go, either in my head, I'm just like laughing about this. So I text Christian Duguay, who's the creator, very talented and very nice. We've
He's
had him on the show. And I was like, I'm laughing right now. I noticed Danielle Koenig is listed as the character of CJ, that either you think this whole time.
Because you did it over.
We did it over text. Well, we talked the whole time over text, and then we did it over Zoom.
Oh, so he would have seen you.
Or no, we did it over the phone. We didn't over
Zoom. You recorded it over the phone.
We recorded it over the phone.
So he didn't see you.
He didn't see me.
Okay.
So either this whole time you thought I was Danielle Koenig.
Right. He meant to hire me.
Yeah. He meant to hire you. Or like you fired me without telling me and then hired my podcast partner to do my role. Like, could you imagine anything more fucking diabolical than that? But also like based on my career trajectory, something like that would happen.
Yes.
Where it's like, I've like recommended somebody for a writing job and then they didn't hire me, but they hired the person I recommended. Like I've had stuff like that happen. So I was like, that tracks.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'll fix it.
So no explanation?
I think he just made a mistake. Like,
it's so crazy. He just flipped us. He just looked at the credits of How to Survive and just he was wrote down the wrong name.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he didn't explain. He was just like, he just was like, haha, sorry. Because I was also being very like
self-deprecating.
Like, because people make mistakes. Who cares? I'm not going to be like, listen, I did three lines on your show and you got them wrong. Like, what am I going to get mad about it? It's funny. So who cares? Funny. Anyway. Danielle and I were just laughing about how many times people get us wrong in life.
But anyway, listen to Chris's episode.
You can hear me be a massage therapist in a tiny scene with his father-in-law, the character.
Oh, yeah, Chuck.
With Chuck, who's such a
funny character.
Such a funny character. And so I get to...
We started listening to it. I didn't know that was your episode. We started listening to the most recent episode, and then we couldn't play again. So we are only halfway through.
Well, but we'll try again. I'm right at the end, and you'll know because you won't be able to stop laughing.
We're like, that sounds like me. I'm confused.
Yeah, yeah. You might think it's you because you get yourself confused with me all the time.
Should we get into today's subject?
Please. I'm excited. I don't really know what's going to happen. I'm ready to go for a wild ride.
All right. Well, buckle up. We're going to talk about how to survive a pathological liar.
Ooh, I bet a lot of people have encountered this person.
Yes.
It might be the same person.
It's all just one person.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do some definitions, shall we?
I love being defined.
A pathological liar is someone who lies compulsively. While there appears to be many possible causes for pathological lying, it is not yet entirely understood why someone would lie this way.
Fun?
Some lies seem to hold Some lies seem to be told in order to make the pathological liar appear the hero or to gain acceptance or sympathy, while there's seemingly nothing to be gained from other lies.
Hmm.
Some evidence from a 2007 trusted source suggests that issues affecting the central nervous system may predispose someone to pathological lying. Compulsive lying. So some people define compulsive lying and pathological lying as two separate things. But in this, for our purposes, it's the same thing. They're interchangeable for
our purposes. Okay.
Compulsive lying is also a known trait of some personality disorders, such as antisocial personality disorder. Trauma or head injuries may also play a role in pathological lying, along with an abnormality in hormone cortisol ratio. Okay, people who lie compulsively may do so because they have a mental health condition, such as personality disorders, like I said, anxiety disorders. Mm-hmm. Obsessive compulsive disorder,
golly,
substance use disorder, and trauma.
I mean, a lot of different things.
Yes. However, it's important to note that everyone who lies compulsively doesn't necessarily have a mental health condition, and everyone who has these mental health conditions isn't necessarily a compulsive liar.
Sure. I mean, if that were the case, people would be lying all over the place.
Right. Because
a lot of people have mental health conditions anxiety.
Yes.
But don't necessarily compulsively lie.
So, some traits of being a compulsive liar is that sometimes their lies seem to have no clear benefit.
Mm-hmm.
While a person might lie to avoid uncomfortable situations such as embarrassment or getting in trouble, a pathological liar tells lies or stories that don't have an objective benefit.
Sure.
I found that interesting.
Yeah.
Friends and family can find this especially frustrating because the person lying doesn't stand to gain anything from their lies. The stories they tell are usually dramatic, complicated, and detailed. Pathological liars are great storytellers. Their lies tend to be very detailed and colorful. Even though obviously over the top, the pathological liar may be very convincing. They sometimes seem to believe the lies they tell. Oof. Now, this is interesting because the only person I can think of is my friend's ex-husband.
Okay.
Who I would think qualifies as a pathological mm-hmm. liar. And I say to her, like, does he believe what he's saying? She's like, I don't know. I don't know. How do you know? A pathological liar tells lies and stories that fall somewhere between conscious lying and delusion.
Oh my gosh.
They sometimes believe their own lies. It's difficult to know how to deal with a pathological liar who may not always be conscious of their lying.
Yeah.
Some do it so often that experts believe they may not know the difference between fact and fiction after some time.
That's terrifying.
It is terrifying. Pathological liars also tend to be natural performers. Mm-hmm. They're eloquent and know how to engage with others when speaking. They're creative and original and quick thinkers who don't usually show common signs of lying, such as long pauses or avoidance or of eye contact.
Is this Trump? Do you think he's a pathological liar?
I have often, so good that you brought that up. I've often wondered, does he believe what he's saying?
Yeah.
Because, like, for instance, the most obvious lie, the election.
Sure.
He was repeatedly told by his people mm-hmm. that there was no interference.
Right.
That he did not win.
Right.
There was no, the machines weren't faulty.
Sure.
There was no corruption.
Right.
He was repeatedly told.
Yeah.
So did he not believe those people, or does he know the truth and just doesn't care? I'm assuming it's the latter,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. When asked questions, they may speak a lot without ever being specific or answering the question. That's another thing I always say to my friend. Well, what did he say?
Mm-hmm.
Or like she'll text him something and he literally just won't respond or won't answer anything that she's actually said. It's just this bizarre way of behaving.
Oh, that's gotta be so difficult.
It's horrible.
Do they have kids together?
Yes. That's why there's still communication.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be any communication. Yeah, that makes sense. Dumb question.
No, it's not.
I hate myself.
Okay, examples of pathological lying. Creating a false history, such as saying they've achieved or experiencing something they haven't. Claim to have a life-threatening illness that they don't have. Telling lies to impress others, such as saying they're related to a famous person.
Oh my God, remember the Grey's Anatomy woman?
That's what my story is going to be about.
Oh shit, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Cut this out.
No, it's okay.
That's one of my favorite stories.
I know, it's
so good.
I was going to do something else, and then I was like, wait a second, that's the best example
of this.
Why would I not do that?
Yeah.
Okay, signs of a compulsive liar. These are some of the signs that someone is lying. Telling stories with extensive details to make them seem more real, appearing anxious while speaking. Well, see, that's sort of the opposite, because the other people said that, no, they're very smooth.
Yes.
So I don't know. Frequently changing their story.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is probably true.
Isn't they use that in court, right? To tell, like, if somebody's telling the truth or not, their story never changes if it's true.
Right. Although sometimes with time, things do change and that begets sticky. Saying one thing but doing another, being vague and when questioned, becoming defensive when confronted with inconsistencies in their story. Sometimes it can be difficult to tell when someone is lying, and you just have to wait and see whether their words are proven to be untrue, says this woman, Dr. Deramus. If you know them well, you may recognize a tone of voice or body posture that tells you they're lying, but many times you just have to wait it out. Lying as a coping skill. Many people who lie compulsively use it as a coping skill because it protected them or solved a problem, perhaps when they were very young, says Dr. Deramus. So if someone is a compulsive liar, they're probably they probably had to handle some tough situations where lying helped them cope or kept them safe.
Hmm.
How to deal with a compulsive liar. The experts share, well, with Trump, I mean, he had a horrible father, too.
Yeah.
So
that was maybe a coping mechanism.
Yeah. Also, he has no soul, so he had to cope with that.
Yes. I don't want to think about him having a horrible father because then I have to have compassion. It's really
hard. You don't have to have compassion. No. It's just an explanation.
But it causes me to feel compassion. And
right.
I don't know how to do that for him.
That just means you're a better person than him.
Well,
that you have that ability to see
him as a human being who was like once a little boy who had a mean daddy.
I mean, he was apparently an asshole as a child, too. So, but probably because his father was an asshole. Okay, don't take it personally. When you realize someone is lying to you, you may find yourself wondering what you did wrong or whether your behavior has anything to do with it. However, it is important to avoid taking the person's lies personally and remember that their compulsion to lie reflects more on them than it does on you. Explain how their lies are affecting you. If you do catch a person in a lie, try not to get frustrated and get into a back and forth of pulling for the truth. Instead, talk to them and let them know how their lies are affecting you. For example, you could say, I was angry and upset when I found out that you lied to me. If you lie to me, it's difficult for me to rely on you to get this done. It's hard for me to trust that you're telling me the truth now. Encourage them to get help.
Mm.
Encourage the person to see a mental health care provider who can help them understand why they're lying, diagnose whether they have an underlying mental disorder, and help them develop healthier coping mechanisms. You can make your connection with them contingent on their getting therapy with a trained professional.
Okay.
Set boundaries with them.
Did it say anything in what you had read about, like, if those people can get help for that?
I mean, it certainly is implying that they can, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe it depends on what the underlying problem is. Like, if it's anxiety and the anxiety is treated, maybe it gets better.
Right.
But if it's like they're a sociopath, it might not.
Yeah.
Be.
I think they're talking about using lying as a coping skill, in which case they're not a sociopath. They're someone who's
traumatized.
So you're getting to the root of the trauma.
So Trump just needs therapy.
Jesus Christ.
Could you imagine going to marriage counseling with Donald Trump?
Oh, my God. Depending on your relationship with the person, you could say, I don't want to. I mean, if you were just Melania, you would just go, I mean, you just point at him.
Yeah.
And just like gesture to him, like, this is this. Yeah. And then the therapist would be like, I know, I read the news.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Leave.
Yes.
You and your giant son, pack a bag. Get out
Are
of there.
They even still together?
I don't know. I mean,
did you see her, like, not let him get in the van with her at some funeral?
I did.
Gosh, you got to send me clips. I still haven't even seen the squirrel one.
Which squirrel
one? Oh, because I forgot to send it.
Yeah, the squirrel showing off the babies.
Oh, yeah,
that
we were talking about
on the bonus episode, guys.
Yes.
You got to listen to our bonus. It was really fun.
It was really fun.
We had so many laughs, and there's a sex dungeon conversation.
Yeah,
so
Julie Brister.
If you don't sign up for Patreon, you don't get to hear it.
Yeah, boo on you. Depending on your relationship with the person, you could say, I don't want a relationship to be based on lies. I can only be your friend partner if you tell me the truth. If I will have to terminate your employment if I find out you've lied to me again. Although if the person's compulsion to lie is strong, the boundary may not be effective, and you may find that you're continuing to lie. They're continuing to lie to you despite the threat that you'll walk away from the relationship. Okay, so now I'm going to tell the story about the woman who was a writer on Grey's Anatomy.
Yes, I'm totally surprised. I did not know that was coming.
So I chopped this from a larger story because it was getting kind of
long. It's a really, I mean, I don't know where you got it from, but I remember reading this a couple years ago, and it's a really big piece of journalism.
Yeah, so this, okay, what happened was this, I don't know what this site is, but it's called The Ankler. Mm-hmm. The Ankler, I believe, broke the story.
Okay.
And then a couple of years later, the Ankler interviewed her.
No way.
Yeah. So
I don't know if I even read that.
Yeah. I hadn't. Mm-hmm. So it's a much long, and I'll obviously link to it, assuming I write a newsletter this week. I will link
to
it.
Well, we can always put it in a different newsletter if we aren't able to do it next week.
So her name is Elizabeth Finch. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to give you a little rundown of what happened. Okay. Elizabeth Finch told colleagues. Remember, she was a writer on Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
And not just a writer, but like wielded a lot of power and was like BFFs with the showrunner.
I mean, what a prime gig.
It's so infuriating. Like, you'll just get more and more pissed off.
Like, how nice would that gig be?
I mean, I have a friend who was a writer on the show at the same time.
She was.
No, no, no. She hasn't been here.
Not her. Mm-hmm, okay. No. Someone else. Never mind.
But she was. Also.
But yes, she also was. Yeah. We're just pointing to the empty chair.
We knew someone else who was.
Who wrote some on the show.
Well, Jamie.
Dembo
wrote on the show, but after this woman left.
I don't know.
Yes, but after this woman left. Yeah. But I have another friend who was a staff writer.
Yeah.
Or producer, whatever they call it. But anyway, Elizabeth Finch told colleagues that she had been diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer called chondrosarcoma in 2012. Harrowing rounds of chemotherapy continued for 2 years after she was hired to be a writer on Grey's Anatomy in 2014. But the cancer was just the beginning of her medical ordeal. She lost a kidney due to chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. Then part of her tibia was removed, also on account of the cancer. Mm. She was forced to abort a fetus because chemotherapy made the pregnancy impossible.
Mm.
It was just a matter of time before, by the way, I cut this part out, but I'm just going to let you know that not only did she not have an abortion, but she filmed when what's his face was getting confirmed for the Supreme Court, the frat boy.
Oh,
Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. She like was in a commercial that was like, if Kavanaugh was on the Supreme Court when I had an abortion, I wouldn't have been able to have one. Like, she just fucking went all out. Yeah. It's a lot.
The balls.
It was just a matter of time before Shonda Rhimes incorporated elements of Finch's life into the show. As reality and fiction started to blur. So she was using...
Taking some of those storylines. and writing it in.
Yes. Dr. Catherine Avery, played by Debbie Allen, eventually assumed many of Finch's own real-life struggles.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Catherine to be diagnosed with a special tumor, with a spinal tumor similar to mine, only this time the doctors would tell her the truth. Because she, like the rest of the world, shouldn't have it any other way, Finch wrote in an essay Elle published. That was the other thing. Not only was she on Grey's Anatomy, she kept publishing these lies
in Elle, which in is, Elle. I mean, listen, it's really hard to get published in Elle.
Right?
What if this was all just for her to finally get a byline in Elle?
That was more important than her future. Enter then an unlikely foil. Finch, who claims to have suffered physical abuse at the hands of her older brother as a child, checked herself into an Arizona facility that treats women who suffer from a range of disorders, including trauma, in the spring of 2019.
Okay.
There, she met a fellow survivor named Jennifer Bayer, who was escaping a broken marriage to an abusive husband. The two women fell in love. So this is still, like, she's still on Grey's Anatomy. She's still lying to everybody. She's
taking
still
a break from writing because she's got to go get
this. She, that was the other thing. She kept, like, taking breaks.
Obviously, she's going to rehab. She's getting kidneys and tibias and babies removed from her body.
Exactly.
You got to take a break.
Yeah. But Bayer, okay. The two women fell in love and married.
Did she leave a marriage for this?
Well, no.
Elizabeth Finch?
She wasn't married.
Okay.
But Bayer, a registered nurse, was not just a supporting character. Through some clever sleuthing, she uncovered the truth about her new wife, confronted her, and demanded that she come clean with friends and family.
She's like, I'm a nurse. I know a lot of what you're saying is bullshit.
Right. At first, Finch reluctantly began confessing to a few close friends, but soon she bristled at Bayer's demands for transparency and called an end to the confession tour. That was when Bayer took matters into her own hands.
Yeah.
She contacted Shondaland.
Good for you, Bayer. And, I mean, that's pretty impressive considering she had been in this abusive relationship.
Right.
And then, okay.
The only thing is, and I didn't include this part, but that's also sort of suspect.
Okay.
Bayer's whole thing about she also had mental problems.
Yeah.
And this guy's mother, her ex-husband's mother, says that she had mental issues and this may not have happened exactly as she said it.
Okay.
So there's a lot of
brokenness
happening. A lot of untrustworthy narrators here. But anyway.
But it's also kind of, you know, broken people are often finding other broken people.
But
and we're all broken. I don't want to be like, I'm totally fine here. Like, we're all dealing with stuff. So.
And she also may have been abused and had some mental disorders. So I'm not really sure. But anyway. So she contacted Shondaland and Disney, reaching out to Rimes personally to alert them that the stories Finch had been telling them and the plot lines based on them were born out of lies.
Okay.
Her colleagues responded with shock, outrage, and fear. We worked with someone who not only said she was sick with cancer, but looked sick with cancer, one of her colleagues told me. A coworker who lost her hair, whose skin was yellow and green, who had a visible chemo port bandage, who regularly took breaks to vomit, who only ate saltines for long periods of time, and who wrote and talked about her experiences all the time. So, by the way, she also was a fucking pain in the ass, according to this article. Like, she was a bully.
Oh, my God. This is blowing my mind. Like, also, P.S., you could write all of those storylines without having
the point
to pretend.
Yeah.
No, I know. I know. She's got a problem.
Yeah.
A big problem.
Right. Well, there was also, it did say in the article that this was a time where, like, it was just becoming more like, you should really write what you know, and the people who have experienced these things should be the people who write them.
Oh,
like,
boy.
In other words, you shouldn't write the story of a black person because you're not black. So, hence, that may have played something into this, but I don't know. Okay, so Finch resigned from the show before an investigation could begin and checked herself into an inpatient treatment at the same Arizona facility.
Well, she's got that big TV money.
Yeah, exactly. No kidding. I've never had any form of cancer. That was a shocking admission. But others continued to spill out. Finch's lies extended well beyond her medical history. After the 2018 terrorist attack on the Tree of Life Synagogue that killed 11 people in Pittsburgh, Finch claimed that she had been a regular congregant there in college. She attended nearby Carnegie Mellon for her undergraduate degree, and that she'd lost a close friend in the shooting. She asked for time off from Grey's to fly to Pittsburgh to help make burial arrangements for her deceased friend.
This is after, okay, because this is 2018, so this is way, this is
before she left. She left in 2019.
Oh my God, oh my God.
She told people the FBI allowed her into the site to help collect the remains as required by Jewish tradition.
What?
The only true part was that, yes, while in college, she had attended a few services at the temple. She did not know any victims.
Oh my God, she's the worst.
Then came another doozy. In 2019, she told colleagues that her older brother, Eric, had committed suicide. I've been gone because my brother died by suicide, she wrote in a note explaining an absence from Gray's writer's room. He was on life support. By the way, when my brother died of suicide, I didn't miss a day.
You didn't.
I'm trying to add some levity. Anyway, there's really none to be found. He was on life support for a short while, but ultimately did not survive. I say this not because I need or want anything from anyone. I'm not a delicate flower or whatever. I just want people to know I'm still here, still part of the team, she wrote. I know it's absolutely wrong what I did, she admits to me. Because remember, this is a first-person interview she finally had. I lied, and there's no excuse for it. But there's context for it. The best way I can explain it is when you experience a level of trauma, a lot of people adopt a maladaptive coping mechanism.
I mean, that's not true.
Sure. Some people drink or hide or forget things. Drug addicts try to alter their reality. Some people cut. I lied. That was my coping and my way to feel safe and seen and heard. So this is what she... Okay, there's two parts to why she was coping.
Okay.
The first part is extremely stupid.
Okay,
During the 2007 Writers Guild strike, she injured herself while hiking into Temescal Canyon, which resulted in what she describes as years of medical purgatory. It took multiple surgeries for doctors to isolate her problem, and she ended up having knee replacement surgery.
So she hurt her knee on a hike? That was her trauma?
No, I'll explain.
Okay.
For months... I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Guys, I tore my ACL and I'm not like faking a dead brother. And...
She doesn't have kids. imagine these elaborate stories you tell. You have Munchausen syndrome about a fake child, constantly putting him in jeopardy. Yes. For months, she was on crutches and grew dependent on friends, several of whom confirmed this part of the story. When she ultimately recovered, the lies started. What ended up happening is that everyone was so amazing and so wonderful leading up to all the surgeries, she recalls. They were so supportive. And then I got my knee replacement. It was one hell of a recovery period, and when it was dead then it was dead quiet because everyone naturally was like, yay, you're healed, she said. But it was dead quiet, and I had no support and went back to my old maladaptive coping mechanism. I lied and made something up because I needed support and attention, and that's the way I went after it. That's where the lie started, in that silence. So she's basically saying she liked all the attention, and then the attention stopped.
It wasn't enough to be like on a hit show as a writer and being successful and... I don't know if I believe that that's when she started lying.
So there's more. Okay. In 2012, she started telling friends and colleagues that doctors had found a tumor encroaching on her spine. Complicated and unresponsive to chemotherapy, it was a rare form of cancer, she explained, that almost never afflicted anyone of her age. She tells me that she chose chondrosarcoma because it was a particular form of cancer that was difficult to treat.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just an unhealthy craving for attention in the wake of her knee surgery. There was a second, more sinister source of her trauma, she says. Her parents were both educators, and she had one sibling, an older brother, Eric, whom she claimed physically and emotionally abused her for most of her childhood. It wasn't just casual sibling rivalry stuff, she alleges in our interviews. There were two things going on. One, my brother was abusing me, and two, my parents weren't listening. A lot of scientists, psychologists, psychiatrists will tell you that the negation of abuse or not hearing it can sometimes be an even bigger trauma than the original trauma itself. Now, of course, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Is she telling the truth now?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Her brother is a doctor somewhere, and
okay.
I wouldn't, didn't want to contribute to the article, I think. She says the message from her therapist was unanimous. It's not a personality disorder. It's trauma. So take that for what you will. At Shondaland, Finch would... nibble saltines, the only food she said she could keep down. Her skin was pale and her head shaved, but often cloaked in a scarf. The outline of the fake port catheter could be seen under her shirt, and she would sometimes rush to the bathroom and feign retching. This is like having a second job at your job.
It's so much work. It feels like so difficult to do all this.
And also, like, everyone's ordering in lunch and you're getting crackers?
Yeah, it doesn't sound fun to do
this. You don't
this.
Want Mendocino Farms? Come right? on.
Oh, it's they're ridiculous. Getting lunch from good places.
I know, they're not getting Mendocino Farms. That's my experience.
No, I mean, I was much thinking that places. I was thinking Mendocino Farms was good.
Yeah.
I was like, that's better than Baja Fresh.
As for her former colleagues at Chandelan, Finch has nothing but kind things to say. I didn't walk around thinking that I have this secret and that I was going to get caught. I didn't stand there on my wedding day thinking, shit, I haven't told her this, because it was buried so far down. And I didn't think your previous piece mm-hmm. was inevitable, particularly because I didn't think I bothered anyone. But every once in a while, the thought would pop up that I wish I could tell Shonda because of the person that she is and because she has the ability to understand that people do really fucked up things, but that doesn't make them a fucked up person. She sees people and the antidote to shame. Oh, she sees people and the antidote to shame is being seen. That's what she's saying about Shonda.
Got Rose. It.
Okay. There's more to the story, but this is what I wanted to end on. A chunk of our final conversation was spent discussing an upcoming photo shoot that would take place at her house for this article.
Okay.
She was worried about the logistics and weather, and on several occasions she asked who the hair and makeup artist would be. After the shoot, she emailed to ask if she could have some of the extra photos that weren't used. She was particularly interested in shots showing her crying.
Whoa.
Right? That's a little chilling.
Yeah. Why?
Because she wants to prove to people she's repentant? I don't know.
Yeah. She's not with the woman anymore?
Oh, no. That woman exposed her and they got divorced.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
She's like, this woman's a fake.
Yes.
And she has 5 kids, that woman.
The other woman.
Yeah. Yeah, the other woman. No, she doesn't have any kids.
I mean, she's so damaged.
She's really damaged. I mean, it's...
Whether or not her brother did whatever, something happened to cause this. I mean, I think the one saving grace is that she's not doing it to someone else, at least. The mama... What's the act?
Oh, Gypsy.
The Gypsy Lee. Rose yeah. Lee yeah. Blanchard. I'm using a lot of names.
I know. Whatever her name was, yeah.
At least she's not doing it to a child for attention.
But it is... kind of basically, it's a form. I mean, I don't know if it's a form, but it seems like Munchausen.
It is, I think, Munchausen. It's just not Munchausen by proxy, right?
Right, but what I'm saying, yeah, right.
She's hurting herself.
But she's not actually
she's not hurting herself. Right.
She's just pretending she's hurt.
But it's
bananas.
It's so damaging and it's so, I mean, she is making this point that, yeah, people adopt maladaptive behaviors, whether it's drug addiction or overeating or alcoholism or, there's so many ways our mental illnesses display when they're not treated properly with, you know, whether it's drug therapy, you know, from a psychiatrist or getting mental health help, you know, in combination with those things. And it's just that thing where you go, that's a wild way for it to display.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be such a good movie?
I mean, I can't.
A TV movie?
By Shonda Rhimes.
No. Someone better. No, not Shonda Rhimes.
Yeah, not Shonda Rhimes.
No.
But I'd like to see it.
Yeah. The first person I thought of was Melissa McCarthy, but it's probably because she was in this other movie that I really loved where she plays this was a true story of the writer who was
making
up
I love that movie with Richard E. Grant.
Yes.
Oh, that's a great movie.
It was really good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
But I think she would be good in this too. And also, again, apparently she was, according to the article at least, you know, not really fun to work with either.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always some trauma. There was other stuff that she now swears did happen, like being followed home by some guy and like all these other things. And you're like, well, I don't know. Maybe those aren't real either.
Because then you can't believe anything.
Right. That's sort of the problem. And her point was like, it was a victimless crime. So I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah, but you annoyed
but
the shit
out of... But it sounds like you're the world's worst coworker.
Yes.
I mean, just like so annoying.
It's like that thing where you're working with someone you don't really like.
Yeah.
They're a pain in the ass, and then they have all this terrible stuff happen to them. So you're forced to have to feel bad for them and constantly accommodate them.
Right.
But inside you're like, oh, I have to feel bad
because
I have the worst cancer, but I also hate them.
Right.
To wait for Ryan Murphy to address it.
Right. Feud.
Feud. Shonda. Elizabeth. Shonda Rhimes.
Yeah. Versus.
Set.
Yeah.
Rhimes versus her Finch.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, that's
a great story.
Lying liars and the lies they tell.
You brought it.
I did.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is How to Survive, and we're talking early onset dementia.
It's just this episode just keeps getting funnier.
I was talking to our guest during the break, and I tried to say, "Are you talking about the place next door?" And I said, "Are you talking about the place yesterday?"
Yeah, this is very normal to me,
right?
What you're doing,
and that I mean, I forget things all the time, yeah. But the using wrong the words, wrong word is a little upsetting. Oh, and then, Garen, what did you say to your friend?
My friend said his dad couldn't watch the football game because he doesn't have anything on streaming. And I asked him, well, doesn't he have Easter egg TV?
And you meant?
I meant bunny ears.
Bunny ears. Oh, my rabbit God. Ears, rabbit ears. Yeah. Rabbit ears. Remember rabbit ears?
Yeah. But guys, I think this happens to me like 17 times a day.
Where you say the wrong word.
Where I mean to say a word. And another word comes out. I mean, my kids make fun of me for it. It's constant.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, I should probably go to a neurologist and get tested. But then I'd have to make an appointment and drive to another town.
What do you, my dad? Make the fucking appointment.
No. Oh. I got enough appointments. You know, I got to go see a butt guy on Wednesday and they're going to look at my butthole. I got enough going
on. Oh, you still have problems because of the bad? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Before we go any further up the butt. Up the butt. We should probably introduce
Speaking of butts.
No.
She's got a great one.
Well, that's true. On the first half of our show, we were talking about how to survive pathological liars. And now we're going to talk about how to survive lying to your dad.
Nice.
With Kira Sultanovich. Hi, Kira.
Hello, Kira.
Even though you were a good girl and that you were not drinking, you lied to your father.
Well, the reason I say father is because my mother was working in Europe at the time.
Oh.
So she was not home.
What was she doing in Europe?
My mom was a fashion designer.
Whoa.
So her company would send her to Europe to steal ideas.
Love it.
Come back to San Francisco and, recreate
knock them.
Off. Knock them off.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't think I'm talking out of school here. I think most.
I'm sure that's how
everyone
we did
it. Yeah. And especially the 80s, right?
Okay.
Especially, you know, we think we came up with big shoulder pads in the 80s. Absolutely not. That was in France.
Really? Okay,
oh, yeah,
cool.
100%.
I love all this.
Wasn't everything coming from France?
Sure. Yes. But so my mom happened to be out of town working. So that's why I specified that I had to lie to my dad.
Okay.
But I was good, but I was also a teenager.
Yes.
Okay.
And on the precipice of horniness.
And how old are you? Set the stage of what your age is as a teenager here.
So this is the story. I was 14 years old.
Okay.
Freshman in high school, lots of big changes happening.
Oh boy.
Right?
Yeah.
But I had the body of this. I was this height and these boobs.
Really?
Okay.
At 14?
These hips. Oh,
whoa.
And 13 probably.
Oh my goodness.
At 12, 13.
You
had a massive rack. And a massive mustache.
Oh.
Yeah.
They got the twofer.
Yeah. I mean, this is okay for an adult woman, but this is for a 12-year-old, aggressive.
That's a lot of boobies.
I'm showing my boobs.
Yeah.
She's got an incredible rack.
She does.
She already said it, but we're just confirming it.
Yeah.
It's like...
For an adult, it's fine. Like, okay, that suits your
body.
When you're in high school, you're like, what do I do with these?
Oh, my God.
And so we lived in the city in San Francisco. We were out in the burbs in Marin, for those of you familiar, just over the Golden Gate Bridge. And it changes a lot. Like, everything's different. You're in the suburbs. It's just, you know, a really different vibe and feeling. And I loved it. I loved, like, people had pools in their backyards.
Uh-huh.
It was nuts, right? And we go out to visit this other family that immigrated the same time as us, they have a son.
Oh,
and I'm a freshman in high school. He's a junior.
Oh boy.
And when I say gorgeous, I mean, if I had a penis, it would be
hard as a rock.
I mean, so I was just like, holy cow, this is my dad's friend's son.
Yeah,
like, wow. And he's talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. And I I just couldn't believe it. And all of a sudden, we're talking, and then he asked me for my phone number, which is, by the way, my parents' phone number at the time. Of course, because, right? It's like the house phone. Cell phones, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I'll call you sometime. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? I couldn't sleep that night.
Now, prior to this, had you had any experience with boys?
Kissing, making out, like, you know, sure.
Okay.
But not
with this handsome older boy.
Yeah. I mean, he's a are you kidding me? He had a driver's license?
Whoa.
And gorgeous, tall, and like just model. I was like, and I was like, I had, you know, my eyebrows touched, and I was super, like, I was so big. You know what I mean? Like, my knuckles kind of dragged. Like, I was just kind of like this ape-like creature, you know?
And you had the full mustache?
Full.
Had not been taken care of at
this point? I did. It kept growing back. Yeah. I had electrolysis. Remember electrolysis?
Yes.
It's not
yes.
even hurt. It's like such torture. It's not even allowed anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's like, no. Right. There's no one that does electrolysis. Horrible pain. Anyways, out of nowhere, a few weeks later, he does call me, and he says...
Weeks that you waited for that phone to
ring. I know. It was insane. But I was beside myself. He goes, hey, do you want to come? My school is having like a... What's the first dance of the year? A homecoming?
Yes.
Spring fling,
something like that.
Something
or
like,
it's
yeah.
in the fall. So I remember that much. Okay. So he goes, my school's having a homecoming dance. And it's like a real... high school, you
right.
know, with the, you know, everything, the football game, Friday Night Lights.
Right,
you know,
it's like a TV show.
Yes, it right. is a TV show. The suburbs are so different than, you know, I went to a school with a lot of gangs, and, you know what I mean?
Right,
it's very
right.
different. So I was like, absolutely. He goes, great, here are the details. This is the day. Hey, my friend so-and-so is coming. Do you want to bring a friend for him as a date?
Oh my God.
Totally trusting me. So I'm right. like, I would love to pimp out one of my girlfriends.
Sure.
Yes.
Who's the first friend? Rachel. Rachel Dan. So I tell Rachel about these plans. Here are the plans. I can't tell my dad I'm going to a dance across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay.
Number one.
Even though it's a fellow immigrant Russian Soviet
in a nice
suburb. He's only met this boy one time
okay.
when
okay.
I met him.
Okay.
Okay. So I know I can't do that.
Okay.
It's a lot for my dad to process.
Okay.
Okay. So I have to tell him I'm going to sleep over at my best friend Adrian's house.
Okay.
Okay. So, and that's normal. That's something I would do all the time.
All right.
So I tell Rachel the details. Okay. They are going to drive from Marin to San Francisco to pick us up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In some, what's like a typical T-Bird? Like what was big? Is that, you know
T-Bird.
What I mean? Like a.
Right. Like a Ford.
A suburban, like a Camaro.
Okay,
right. Like
yes.
nothing that we drove in the city.
Oh, okay.
Right? Well, first of all, we had buses. That's all we were allowed
right.
to do. So they come and they pick us up. Rachel and I got these like hot strapless dance, you know what I mean? Like these amazing
yes.
kind of like prom dress type.
Really?
Of, oh my God. We had high heels. We did our bangs extra high.
So now where do you get ready? Because you're lying about where you're going. So where did you?
Adrian's house.
Okay. So Adrian is the alibi. I get that.
Adrian had her own room that was separated from her house.
What?
Her parents
oh
had
God,
an ADU
Adrian.
Before ADUs were even a thing.
Oh, and she lived
had
back
this
there.
And she lived there.
She had like her own place.
Her own entrance.
She's Fonzie.
Her oh. For sure Fonzie.
Okay.
And her parents had no idea when she was coming or going.
Wow. So they didn't know you were there getting ready. Gotcha.
Okay. So we get ready. They come pick us up.
Okay.
And my dad just thinks I'm spending the night at Adrian's.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
You're in her little ADU just
no,
out.
No clue what's going on down there. Okay. So... these guys come. The friend is cute too, so Rachel's
awesome.
Kind of okay. I'm right. on board. My date, I'm dying. I'm just like, oh my god.
He's like
god.
In a suit.
Oh yeah, super hot. And
did he bring you a corsage?
I can't remember those details, but
doesn't matter. Just
yeah,
curious.
But you know, like we jump in the car, we jump on the freeway, we cross the bridge, and we have dinner reservations first before the dance.
Wow.
I know.
This is pretty sophisticated.
Amazing.
For juniors
okay.
in high school.
Yeah.
My son's a junior in high school. I can't
right.
imagine any of this transpiring whatsoever.
No. My kid is 13. The things I did at 13, I asked him to put clothes in the dryer, and he was like, what's a dryer? Like, what? I have failed you. So we're driving on the freeway. All of a sudden, one of the front tires
no
blows up. I saw it explode in front of my eyes.
No.
Wow.
No.
It was horrific. And he loses control on the freeway.
Terrifying.
Terrifying. And somehow we miss being hit by all of this traffic.
Oh my God. And like it spun around?
We spun and we kind of slid into the side of the freeway, right. Got there safely.
Okay. Oh, at the rail. In the center.
Yeah, like just on, there was a mountain. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay. It's just mountain.
All right.
And we just.
Okay.
And we're there and we're all stunned.
Oh my God.
And in that moment, I realized, because I am a gypsy and I right. am psychic. And I said, this is going to turn into one of the worst nights of my life.
Oh.
And not because I'm a negative person.
Right.
Because I'm actually not.
Okay.
Because I'm usually the cheerleader that's like, no worries. I'm sure you have a spare. Yes. We'll flag someone right. down. This is before cell phones, so you can't just call AAA.
Right.
We'll flag someone down. The police will swing by. Like, okay. So he doesn't have a spare.
Which is uncommon back then.
Yeah.
Really
cars
uncommon.
Came with a spare.
Yeah. This is not his car. I find out borrowed this car from someone without asking.
Oh, so he stole it.
He stole a car.
What does that mean? It was a friend?
I think it was a neighbor.
Oh my God. Okay, that's grand theft.
Yes. So now he is truly flipping out.
Oh my God.
He is driving in a stolen car. And he has not told us this. And I'm like, well, we'll just, you know, someone will stop. Because those were the days when someone should stop. And don't worry, maybe the police. Not the police. And this guy flipped like a light switch. Mr. Sexy, yes. Rico Suave,
Mr.
my
cool.
dream. Yes, Mike. Like, this was like what I thought, oh my God, this is a dream boyfriend.
Right.
And by the way, I did think he was my boyfriend at the time. Like, I was so dumb. He changed immediately, like as if he pulled a mask off,
and
he turned into an absolute psycho.
Oh no!
It was
the calm exterior was gone.
Exactly.
You saw what he was really made of.
So we're sitting on the side of the freeway in prom dresses. Rachel and I are freezing because what 14-year-old is going to bring a jacket
right.
to cover up her amazing
tatas,
you know, sequined whatever?
That wouldn't look cool.
And big bow on the side. Like, it was just,
I mean,
no jacket.
Amazing.
We're sitting there, we're freezing. And we're starting to get scared. And we're, like, clutching onto each other. Okay? And an hour goes by. And nothing. No one's stopping. No, nothing. Like, zero.
And at this point, do you know that the car is not his?
I don't think I knew at that point. I just knew... there's no spare. And even if there was a spare, I don't know. Like,
that he would know how to do it.
I don't know,
it.
Right? Oh, yeah. Like, there's nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. And no one's going to come save us.
Oh, my God.
Then an hour and a half goes by.
You're just standing there on the side of the road? Or are you in the car?
And a car pulls, stops. But, like, you know, it's the freeway. So for them to slow down, they pulled over way in front of us.
Okay.
And you couldn't really see them. It's dark now.
Oh, God.
It's dark. It's cold. And we were actually trying to stay warm. I think we got in the car, but it was weird because the car's like now tilted. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, uh-huh.
So we're kind of just like huddled and we see a car stop and the friend gets out.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, let me go try to flag them down.
Okay.
And he runs. And the car takes off.
Why did they stop? Oh.
So then I think a short while after that, a tow truck did come.
Okay.
So we don't know if that car like stopped, went and found a payphone.
Right.
We don't know. But like a tow truck all of a sudden magically showed up.
Okay.
Okay. So how did he get us a new tire? Like, no, he towed us.
Okay.
That's what it was. This is hard for me because I'm 50. So I'm remembering to whatever the math is minus, you know.
14.
So I'm 14. Right. So we get, and the guy says, my date says, can you tow us to this restaurant? Oh. He still is like.
Yeah, he's not giving up.
Yeah.
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
After
and
the
I
reservation.
Go, do we still have a reservation? And he goes, yeah. So he towed us to this restaurant. And
okay.
then I guess he took the tow truck, the car somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we show up
so
to this restaurant.
So you get out of the, okay.
We show up to this restaurant. And they were like, sure, you can still come.
Okay.
But now we have to eat fast. And right. I go, but how are we going to get to the dance?
Yeah. Right. You don't
He's
have a
like,
car.
Oh, no, no. He goes, all my friends are meeting up at this restaurant. We'll just get a ride to the dance. And I go, but how are we getting home?
Right.
Okay. So we get to this restaurant.
What a buzzkill you are.
This I know.
Trying to yes. point out logistics of getting to
and
home.
Rachel and I were like, all right. First of all, I could tell Rachel was like, what have we gotten into?
Right.
We're really far away from home. It's not like when you're in San Francisco. I guess we're just jumping on the underground and, you know.
Sure. Right.
So now we're at this restaurant. We sit down. They seat us. Remember when... This is like such an old lady thing. There were no phones, but you could like call a restaurant and they would say, Steve, is there a Steve here? You have a phone call?
I know that from TV. I've never actually seen it in real life, but I've seen that they bring the phone to your table or they just tell you. So, yeah, right.
Well, they were asking for a Karen and they are panicking.
The people who work at the restaurant?
Yes. Is there a Karen? Karen, you have a phone call. They came to our table. They came to every single table. They went to every single table. Is there a Karen? Karen, are you Karen? And we're like, no. And they're running. They're panicked.
Oh, no.
So.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was like a moment of like, Karen.
What does Karen sound like? Karen.
I'm 14. I'm a dummy, right? Oh, but okay. I go, Kira? Nah.
Right.
Let it go.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We have this stupid little meal.
Uh-huh.
I say stupid little meal because he's 16 but doesn't bring enough cash.
Of course, he goes,
you guys can share something to me and Rachel. So we like share this little whatever dumb meal and we're rushed because we have to go. Like all these other kids got here with plenty of time. And
right. But there are other kids there from the school.
There were other kids from the school. They had planned. We're all going to go to this whatever. You know, it was like a
banquet hall type.
It was like a their fancy, like it was probably a TGI Fridays. You know what I mean? Yes. But it was like that considered like it's an Applebee's. It's fancy.
Right.
We are going to catch a ride.
Right.
Okay. So I'm starting to panic because I'm feeling like we're now going to a third location.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this guy is a weirdo schmierdo.
Uh-huh.
The boner is gone. I'm completely soft.
Limp. Wait, like even after you got rescued... Did his demeanor go back to calm and pleasant, or he was just uptight, or what was he like?
It felt scary.
Oh.
It felt scary.
Oh, God.
You know, where all of a sudden I was like, not that I knew what a date should be, but I knew it shouldn't be...
terrifying?
Do you have any money?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, no, and I go, how are we going to get... back home and he goes, don't worry. Why are you worrying? Why are you worrying? Like he was mad at me. Why are you freaking out? We're going to go have fun. Why are you worrying?
Right.
I told Rachel, I go, I think we need to go.
Uh-huh.
And this is where I can't remember all the details, but somehow we convinced him that, I don't know, maybe I told him I had a bad colonoscopy and I was, you know, I had an itchy butt. I don't know what I said. I can't remember the details. All I know is I convinced him to drive Rachel and I back to San Francisco.
But with what car?
Well, he had to figure that out.
Oh, okay.
I felt something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So somehow we did it. His friend left. His friend was like, I'm going to the dance.
Right.
His friend left with one of our friends. And this guy drove Rachel and I back to the city.
But what car did he use?
Well, I remember going, someone drove us to his house. So I'm assuming he probably took his
parents'
car.
Okay.
Yes. Again, I can't remember.
Right.
It's so like.
Yeah. Sure.
But I do remember us drive. This guy was an idiot. I remember us driving back over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes, do you guys have any cash?
Again.
Because it costs money to drive into San Francisco. How do you not know this?
Right.
You live in Marin. How do you not know this?
Right.
I knew this.
Yeah.
Now, granted, at that time, it was only a dollar.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't have a dollar.
Oh, my God. He just spent it on
and
the big meal.
And we had nothing.
Yeah.
We had zero. And back then, now they take a picture of your license plate and they deduct it immediately from your Venmo. You know what I mean? It's like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
There aren't even humans now on the bridges.
Right.
Back then, it was, you had to pull over. They had to write everything down. They had to, It was a thing.
So they let you go, but they take all of your information. Okay.
But yeah, they take your driver's license. They take your license plate. They take your thing. And now he's freaking out because now his mom, it was his mom's car. Because I remember him thinking, my mom's going to find out.
Right.
I took her car.
So now he's stolen two cars.
Yeah.
Two cars.
In one night.
In one night.
Yeah. And one of them got towed.
Yeah.
Zero money.
Unbelievable.
Like, how are you going to pay for that person's tire? Whatever. It wasn't my problem at that time. He drives Rachel home first. Okay. And Rachel's mom comes out. And as we're driving away, Rachel's mom is doing this.
Oh, boy.
But I didn't. I was like, what's happening? But, you know.
Oh, for those
and
who.
I see Rachel. For, oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She's kind of like.
Got her fists in the air.
Her fists in the air like, what the hell?
Right.
And I see Rachel's face and Rachel looks at me, but we drive away.
Okay.
So now he's driving me back to Adrian's house.
Right.
Your sleepover.
Yes.
Your alibi.
My alibi. And then he tells me, well, I'm going to be honest. I expected to hook up with you tonight. So we have to hook up before you go.
Oh my
into
God!
Your friend's house.
Now, does
what?
Does hook up in 1980 whatever mean sex
it
or
didn't
does it mean
sex
make out?
It meant make out.
Uh huh.
And probably one or both boobs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some heavy petting.
So yeah, and I go.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
Okay. I go. Okay. I'll kiss you. And if you want to feel me up, that's fine.
Oh, my God. I love the negotiation.
This could have gotten you across the bridge.
But I'm not touching anything.
Okay.
And,
right.
You know, I'm not doing anything.
You don't get it. Yeah.
So, you know, we have the car. But we're around the corner from Adrian's house because I'm not going to risk going through her side gate.
Uh-huh.
I'm around the corner from her house. I'll tell you in a second why.
Okay.
So we're sitting in the car. We're making out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is kind of amazing.
Oh, okay. So okay. I was
into it because, but I knew he was a little bit psycho. So I was not like fully, but again, you're a dumb girl and you don't know.
Hormones.
And the car is running and I let him do some, you know, feeling up. It was fine.
Yeah.
And then I go, okay, I really have to go. Like, I have to go. It's really late now.
Uh-huh.
And this has been a lot for me.
Yeah.
This has been too much.
Right.
Too much. His car turns off.
Oh, no.
He ran out of gas.
Oh, my God.
This guy. Jesus.
Oh, my God. He did not know how to read a gas. I don't know. Was there a light? I don't know.
Right.
We were in the car for so long, we just used up.
Right.
And he now has no gas to get back to Marin.
Unbelievable.
And he goes, you can't leave yet. You have to go get me some money.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I was just like, where do you want me to? It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Where
am I gonna get this money for you?
Also, what's he gonna do? Push the car
to
a gas station?
I don't even know what you want from me right now. Like, I'm not prepared for anything that happened tonight.
I'm in ninth grade, dummy.
I don't know anything about driving cars. I don't drive. I don't know anything about checking for gas. I don't know. Was there a light? How do you run out of gas?
Right.
I didn't know the car could just goon, 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 and then just be done.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So, and you know the irony is my dad called me while I'm telling this story.
Oh,
it's
he
as
did.
If psychologically he goes, I feel disappointment all over again. I feel this. Okay, so we're almost nearing the end. So I'm now back to worried. Like, he was maybe bipolar. I don't know. But now I'm like back to worried.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, I'll be right back.
Okay.
My friend Adrian, where I'm staying, I guarantee you she has money. You know? Because like, we were working back then, you know what I mean? Like babysitting and stuff. So I go, just stay right here.
Okay.
Now, I'm so glad that he dropped me off around the corner from her house. The way Adrian's neighborhood worked was the house at the end of the street had a fence that went into its backyard.
Okay.
That was very easily jumpable.
Oh, okay.
How do I know this? Adrian and I did it many times.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because we would go to her house after curfew.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So just to be safe, we didn't want to go through the side gate. We jumped about five or six backyards. Oh,
like, it's like Ferris Bueller at the end of Ferris Bueller.
100%.
Yeah.
So I go, don't worry, I'm going to come right back. I jump the first backyard. Uh-huh. I am in high heels and a dress and it's tight. And I'm like, I did not think this through. I can't get my leg over.
Oh my God.
So I have to pull the dress all the way up. So now it's just my underwear and a dress that's up to my waist. And I'm running across these fences and it's dark and I can't really see. But thankfully, I've done it enough times.
Right.
And some of the fences are a little jaggedy and some of them are old. And, you know, it's San Francisco. So like, most of these people in this neighborhood are hippies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's way too much crap in the backyard.
Right.
That I have to
like the wheelbarrow and like a rusted bicycle. And
all of it. Right. All of it. Just full of like danger and hepatitis and all of this stuff. So I'm jumping these fences and in my mind, I'm like, I'm not going back.
Right. Oh, okay.
I'm not going back. Right. There's no way.
Yeah. Right.
What am I thinking? I get to, there's like four, five, Adrian's house is like five or six. And I'm covered in mud.
Oh my God.
And I'm dirty. And my hair is jacked. And like the bow has unraveled on my dress.
God.
And the shoes are in my hand at this point. And I wore nylons back then.
Sure.
And my nylons are disgusting. Like everything is just, and I get to Adrian's little, you know, ADU, her separate little area from her house. And I do a little, right? A little like secret knock, you know, because she did lock it at night.
Uh-huh.
And she opens the door and she goes, what are you doing here? And I go, what? She goes, what are you doing here? I go, Adrian, what are you talking about? You knew I was coming to spend the night. I'm disgusting.
Right.
My makeup is in my shoes.
Right.
She goes, your dad didn't find you?
Oh, no.
Like, what? My dad, why? Why would he find me? Your dad did not find you? I sent him to the restaurant.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What does my dad know? Right. She's like, everything. He came here to my house.
Oh. He suspected?
For some reason, my parents, who probably don't even know my middle name.
Right.
And I'll tell you why they don't know my middle name. Because when we became immigrants when I was 8 or 9 years old, I made up a middle name for me and I put it on the paperwork.
Okay.
And my parents were like, you don't have middle name. I go, no, I made one up because it was on the paperwork and I wanted to be like American.
Oh, is that not
so
a thing?
So I'm being honest. He probably did not know my middle name.
Okay.
Out of nowhere decided to call Adrian.
Oh.
Never in the history of me lying to my dad to tell him I was at Adrian's when
right.
I wasn't. Did he call?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Adrian, God bless her, tried her best. Oh, hi, Mr. Sultanovich. She's in the shower right now.
Right.
Can she call you back? Okay, make sure she call me. Okay. Then he calls back an hour later. She's outside. Oh, she's like, he drove to her house.
Whoa.
And her parents answer the door. Kira hasn't been here. They didn't know I was getting dressed.
Right.
You know, oh, no, she's not here tonight. She's not spending the night. My dad's like, where is she?
Mm-hmm.
And Adrian just fell apart.
Yeah. That folded like a cheap.
Now my dad is like this sweet old man who's like, okay, everybody, I like to tell jokes. But back then, you have to remember, he was scary and, you know, stronger and not gray. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. he was like this Soviet gangster.
Uh-huh.
And Adrian broke. She went to a dance with some guy named, and then she gave the name and my dad realized who it was.
Okay.
And she went with Rachel and tap and all this stuff. And maybe she's at Rachel's house. That's why he drove to Rachel's house.
Okay. That's why the mother was shaking
the
her fists in
the
mother
was shaking her fists at me.
Yes.
It literally all just fit all of a sudden. My dad drove to Marin. He's the car that stopped.
What?
He stopped because he saw these teenagers. I'm getting goosebumps just telling you this right now.
Oh, my God.
He stopped. He thought, maybe that's my daughter.
But wait a second. Wait, I got to back up for a second. He obviously, when he went to Rachel's house, he didn't see Rachel because Rachel was with you.
Rachel was with me, but Rachel's mom is like...
Did Rachel's mom know about the dance?
She had no idea.
So then how did he know about the restaurant?
Adrian
told him about the restaurant.
I told Adrian the plans. He's taking us out.
Okay, right, right,
right. We're going to a restaurant.
So he's on his way to the restaurant when he sees you. No.
Get this. Adrian called the restaurant to warn me.
Oh, that was her calling. Okay.
Adrian called. She said Kira, of course.
Right, but they heard
but
Karen.
But my whole life, people have heard Karen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because what the hell is a Kira?
Even Jimmy with his Chicago accent, it sounds like Kara the way he says it.
Kara.
Yeah.
Karen. Kara. You know?
Right.
That's what they said. Adrian called to warn me.
That he was on his way.
Adrian said, this is an emergency. So this is how smart Adrian is. By the way, she's a lawyer now. Like, she goes, it's an emergency. There's a child involved.
Oh, smart girl.
Smart. Girls, why would they, like, frantically?
Yeah, right.
He wasn't going to the restaurant. She didn't tell him the restaurant. He wasn't going to the restaurant. He was just going to Marin, to this boy's house.
Because he knew where he lived. Got it. So he stops because he sees the teenagers on the road. But why did he...
He went and called AAA.
Oh, why didn't he...
He was on a mission to find
him. It did not connect to him that could be you. Not,
but he did stop because he saw kids and maybe. But he was so far ahead.
And then a boy got out who wasn't that boy anyway. And right.
He kept driving.
Wow.
That's wild.
Wild.
Unbelievable.
He gets to the parents' house.
Right.
The parents are like... Our son's at a school dance.
Right.
I don't know if he's there with your daughter, but that's where he is. They gave my dad directions to the school.
Okay.
My dad went to the dance, and I didn't.
Unbelievable.
My dad sat at this school dance for hours. For hours.
Well, did he find the boy?
The boy never went to the dance.
Oh, of course. He's stuck on the street, on Adrian's street.
Making out with you.
So my dad leaves completely a mess.
Oh.
Calls my mom in Europe.
Oh, my God.
It's like almost morning there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he has to tell her, I don't know where our daughter is.
Oh, my God.
And she said, you know, what daughter? I'm kidding. They were not really present as parents. Anyways, no, they were great. They were fine. They did the best they could. English is their second language. So, you know, now she's flipping out.
Right. It's the worst nightmare. You go out of town and you're like, I'm sure my husband can handle the kids. Nope.
Lost one of them. And tried his hardest to find me.
Yeah.
Like, oh really my did. God. Tried his hardest. So when Adrian tells me all of this and I put it together like an M. Night Shyamalan,
yes.
You know what I mean? Where I'm like, oh, my God. I didn't know it was my dad on the freeway until the next day. But she told me your dad went to Marin.
Oh, my God.
And I am shaking and I know I'm in the biggest trouble of my life.
Right.
I am in so much trouble.
Of course.
I couldn't sleep that night. I was just... I wake up in the morning.
Well, wait. Do you give the money to the kid? Or you stayed?
I never went back.
You didn't go back. Okay.
I couldn't after I got this information.
Right.
I had already, when I was climbing the fences.
You'd already decided. You're like, going back.
Not I'm not climbing these fences back.
Right. So you're filthy, you're covered in mud.
When Adrian tells me this, I'm like shocked. So shell shocked.
And did you call home to your dad to say,
no,
hey,
No, it was 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
I did not.
Okay.
Probably dumb, but
yeah.
As a parent now, I wish you would have woken me up.
Of course.
So in the morning, Adrian's dad, who, by the way, as an adult, I still apologize for this when I see him. I am so sorry about that one night. He's like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh.
Like, Adrian's dad drives me home. He's very, you know, he's like, so, did you have fun last night?
This is the dad?
Adrian's dad yeah. drove me home the next morning. And I mean, I have this ripped dress in my bag and these nylons that, you know, were control top. I don't know why. And I am horrified and mortified. I don't even know what I'm walking into.
Right.
And I get home and my dad, I must have called him. I don't know. He literally opens the door as like the car is pulling up, and and Adrian's dad just goes, good luck.
Oh God, that feeling.
And my dad. So the thing with my dad when I was a kid is I was more scared of my mom.
Uh-huh.
My mom actually was like, she beat me. Oh. Like I was spanked as a kid uh-huh. by my mom, never my dad. So I was really scared, but I was also just horribly embarrassed and mortified.
Right.
And then I find out, and then I told him what happened. He's like, that was you on the side of the road. Oh. And then I find that out.
Amazing.
And then he's like, I went to this dance. Why didn't you go to the dance? I made him drive me home. Like,
yeah, you thought you were being smart. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just all of this, like, emotion and just all of the raw teenage, all of it, the angst and the fear and the anxiety and all the everything. And I like this boy. And it was the first time I had ever, you know, admitted to him that I like this boy. And he goes, well, we can never be friends with him again. Like, you're never going to see him again.
Right.
You know, and I can't be friends with his parents. So thanks. Like, I can never. No, he was like, we're never going to that house. We're never hanging out with those Russians ever again. I hope you're happy. And I was like, actually, I am kind of
really. Really?
Like,
the guy's a psycho.
But then we have to call my mom in Europe. And she is like ready to come home to America.
Right.
And just.
Just so she can hit you.
Just so she can smack me around a little bit. But, you know, just that whole process of like one thing after another, just
it's amazing.
Just even not having money for the bridge, like all these things.
It's like After Hours, the movie.
I couldn't believe that I survived that.
Unbelievable. Did your dad punish you?
I'm sure I got into trouble.
Uh-huh.
But again, he did not like. He did not get angry and punish me and give me the same kind of, you know,
he wasn't yelling at you.
I mean, he was truly angry and mad. And I think he was just relieved.
Of course.
I was alive. And then when I told him all of like, this went wrong and then this went wrong. And then and then I told him how I left that guy stranded.
Uh-huh.
Whoopsies.
Whoops.
He was just like, this is too much for me.
He's like, you're a lot.
You're a lot. You're extra. And the lies and the, you know, this friend and that friend. And then, you know, Rachel did not get into so much trouble. And I'll tell you why. Again, Rachel's parents, hippies. She had two older brothers that were so much worse than her. Like, they were relieved that it was just.
Chris.
I can relate.
Yes. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, that was a thing that I mean, look, it makes for a great story.
It's a great story.
And we want to, you know, have these crazy, weird, scary adventures in our life, but also you just hope you're on the right end of it at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
How long was it before you lied to your parents again?
The next day, I'm sure.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't have been terrified?
I lied to them all the time.
Oh, okay. About where you were?
Everything.
Kira, this was a fantastic story.
Wow.
I mean, really, really good.
You really delivered.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Thanks, ladies. Thanks for having me. I want to also find out later off the mic if you ever got any cool clothes because your mom was a fashion designer.
So many.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, thank you, Kira. And we will be right back with What Did We Learn Today?
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Danielle.
Yes.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
100% ready.
According to some website with the top 11 easy Beatles songs for piano, Hey Jude is the best place to start.
Okay.
It is slow and has accessible arrangements, even for a complete... even for someone who's never read from a phone before.
Yeah.
Why is it practical to learn how to play these easy Beatles pianos?
Have I ever read... Jesus Christ. You know what you sound like? AI. Like, maybe, is it practical to the Beatles maybe, and the piano?
Maybe I could get a job reading AI. Maybe I could become AI.
Sure.
We all will eventually.
Any song by the Beatles can be a good starting point for beginner piano learners. You know what? Then I'm not going to pick Hey Jude. It's not my favorite.
It's kind of a slog.
I don't know. That's not my favorite. Okay. Find Danielle's episode of Valley Heat wherever you get your podcasts or at valleyheat.com.
I had so much fun recording that.
Oh, you were great.
Thanks.
This is the funniest part of the episode. A pathological liar may not even know they are lying. They tell their lies so often they begin to feel true to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you have someone in your life who is a compulsive or pathological liar, which is the same thing, help them understand why they do it or encourage them to seek help to address the root of their behavior.
Yeah.
Munchausen syndrome, also known as factitious disorder, is a rare type of mental disorder in which a person fakes illness. The person may lie about symptoms, make themselves appear sick, or make themselves purposely unwell. Mm-hmm. Factitious disorder imposed on another, previously called Munchausen syndrome by proxy, is when someone falsely claims that another person has physical or psychological signs or symptoms of illness, in many cases the person's child.
Right.
So messed up. I would love to share a letter from one of our beloved listeners.
Fantastic.
Maria Giacio. I'm getting that name right, and don't you tell me I'm wrong.
Sure.
She sent us a really lovely letter. Let me get in here. Hello, ladies and garden squirrel. I wanted to reach out and say hey. 2024 has been a doozy so far, and I am so appreciative of you and your podcast.
Aww.
I was diagnosed with breast cancer over the Christmas holiday, not the gift anyone wants. Since then, it's been a lot of tests and determining the stage, 3B, and treatment. Chemo for at least 24 weeks, then surgery with radiation to be determined after surgery. I had a port put in my chest last week, and my chemo will begin in February. Fun times! My chemo will be on Mondays and sometimes on Tuesdays, so it's perfect that I normally watch NNF on Mondays and listen to HTS Aww. On Tuesdays so that I can find a reason to smile or even laugh during my infusions. I get to have one last big outing before treatment begins to see Jimmy and Matt at San Francisco Sketchfest. I wish you ladies were going so that I could see your podcast live. We wish we were there too,
to see you.
I've been listening, and each week and during every episode, I have thoughts that I intend to message about, but I guess I've been a bit distracted. But I'm here listening and loving every minute of the show. Wishing you all well and sending you my love, Maria. Maria.
Wow, Maria.
We are so, so sorry that you are dealing with this in your life.
We wish you the best. We'll be thinking good thoughts for you.
We're sending you love, and we know, I'm sure so many of our listeners are also sending you love and
really
good healing thoughts. We are just sending you so much good, like, positive energy for recovery.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing this with us. And I can't tell you how much it means that we can add a little lightness to your day. I know that, like, sometimes our granola conversations are going on too long.
I probably cut that. This is future Danielle. I cut that. I don't know if I did.
Anyway, thank you, Maria.
Thank you, Maria.
You know what? It brings us a lot of joy.
Yeah.
So you never get used to hearing that stuff.
Yeah.
It's really,
it's pretty heavy.
An honor.
Yeah.
It does feel like an honor because I think sometimes we just think we're doing this in a vacuum to entertain each other. And I'm like, somebody listens?
Yeah, I agree. It's really neat.
That is a really profound experience. Here is, speaking of other people saying nice things about us, not to toot our own horns.
Beep, beep.
I did say, and we've said this in the newsletter, that if you share reviews, which help our show immensely, we would read them. So
yes.
I'm going to do that right now. Here is a 5-star review.
Whoa. Is that the most?
That's the most.
Wow.
That's what we like. Super great! Exclamation point. Consistently fresh and funny and witty. Amazing guests with great stories. Should be required listening on any flight, so when the door blows off, you'll know what to do. That is from Brian. No last name given, but Brian, that's a great review.
Yeah, thank you so much,
thank
Brian.
You.
That rocks.
Yeah, and you know what? We should probably just do a whole episode on what to do when your door blows off.
Yeah, even if it's not a plane.
Or just in life. Like,
yeah,
when your door blows off. Or metaphorically when the door blows off your life.
Exactly.
That can be what the guest comes in and tells us about. Right. This was a fun show.
Really fun.
And fun guest.
Yes, great story. My God.
We had a good time, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did.
Oh my gosh, we always have fun.
Well, I guess until next time.
Remain calm.